worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now. Don't worry.
Hello, my name is Gail Moskowitz, your host for Mental Health Matters. I am a licensed clinical social worker and have practiced in the Richmond community for 31 years. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex, and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Monday at 1 on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to the WRIR website, www.rir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to this evening, along with all the past shows, by logging on to my website, mentalhealthmatters.web.officelive.com. I'm happy to send you a link to my website if you email me at your mental health matters, all one word, yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send me your comments, questions, or suggestions for a future show. The number at which you can reach us today is 622-9747, 622-9747. And if you'd like to get on the air, you punch in 210. But if you'd like to make a donation to this station, if you like this show, please join us in this fund drive. And instead of punching 210, punch zero. And you can make a donation to the station. If you call during the show, I will match your donation up to $100. So call in the next 28 minutes. We'd love to reach a goal of $11,500. We're up to $11,100. So please, if you like the show, call in and make a donation. So today I do not have a guest, as this is an area in which I specialize. We are going to talk about what is and how to treat sexual addiction. What is sexual addiction? Now, it is all over the news, but in truth, it's always all over the news. And before we had the news, it was all over the place anyway. Sexual addiction is not new. It's just something we're talking about now and putting words to. So some people say that sexual addiction doesn't exist, and that the people who are supposedly sexually addicted are really just sexually compulsive, and that they're immoral or just not willing to manage their impulses. So let me quote Patrick Carnes. He's a prolific writer and an expert psychologist in this field. He says, like an alcoholic unable to stop drinking, sexual addicts are unable to stop their self-destructive sexual behavior. Doesn't matter, family breakups, financial disaster, loss of jobs, and risk to life. They're all painful themes of their stories, but they continue to do it. Sex addicts come from all walks of life. In my practice, I have treated ministers, physicians, homemakers, factory workers, salespeople, secretaries, politicians. I have treated them all because it's not just you, and it's not just me who has to manage and learn to manage their sexuality. We all have to. And unfortunately, we live in a world, and especially right now in the United States of America and in other cultures as well, but in our culture, we have this problem with talking about sex and sexuality. On one hand, we are so Victorian. We say just don't do it. We try to think if we hold our breath and close our eyes, our children aren't going to be interested in experimenting sexually. But on the other hand, we have carte blanche to look at all sorts of things on the internet. And pornography did not begin on the internet. It began many, many years ago. People started figuring out how to make lots and lots of money off of the sex trade. I believe that prostitution is considered the oldest profession. So we don't do things like teach and mentor our children. And one of the things we don't do is we don't teach and mentor our children how to manage their sexual impulses. which all of us have. So, you know, we don't send our kids out to drive without driving lessons. Why wouldn't we teach them about what they're feeling? We try to give them words for angry. We try to give them words for frustrated. Why don't we give them words for what this profound, and sexual feelings are profound. They're big. They're exciting. Why don't we teach them what to do with those sexual feelings? You know, sexual addiction is, I want to just define it very concretely. Persistently engaging in sexual behavior that causes negative outcomes, ruins healthy relationships, emotionally damages the individual, and often escalates. That's the definition of addiction. Something that is destructive in your life and you can't stop it anyway. So, what does it look like? You know, what does sexual addiction look like? Who does it? What are the faces of sexual addiction? Well, first one is the one that perhaps is all over the news these days with Mr. Woods, Mr. Tiger Woods, and before it was Bill Clinton. And, you know, it's always someone because this is life. So one of the faces of sexual addiction is continuously seeking new partners. Continuously seeking new partners, even being married, doesn't matter. Continuously seeking new partners, it's never enough. And for some people, it's an adoration kind of thing. They're addicted to being adored by new partners. But really, if you look at the brain chemistry of seeking new partners, have any of you ever been in love? Do you remember what it felt like to be in love? Oh my God, nothing feels better than the high of being in love. And your brain is emitting all sorts of chemicals that doesn't emit all the time. It's an addiction to that rush. And it is an inability to cognitively understand that no real relationship continues to have that sense of heightened intensity. Okay, so continuously seeking partners shows up in both the heterosexual and in the homosexual world. Okay, now, seeking of anonymous sex partners. So never wanting to, you know what I want to say? That at any time that you would like to call in during the show, I want to repeat the number, which is 622-9747, 622-9747. If you want to talk to me, you can press in 210. If you want to make a donation to the station, it's 0. Okay. So let's look at seeking anonymous partners. Why would somebody want to be sexual with someone who is nameless and faceless? Well, they do it because they don't want to connect the emotional pieces of their sexual being. And they do it because they are so out of control with their feelings that they don't know how to stop themselves and they don't want the complications of a sexual relationship. These people use prostitutes, and they prefer prostitutes because they can pay the prostitute to engage in that fantasy. And it is, you know, it's part of seeking many partners, but it's a different form of it. Okay, then there is the person who habitually wants to stimulate themselves. I don't know if I can use the M word, so I won't. But they continuously want to stimulate themselves. And these people have terrible consequences. You think, you know, there are all these jokes about not doing that when you're growing up. But this is a normal part of development. It is not a normal part of life on a continuous daily way of living, because we're talking about people who are physically hurting themselves. They rub themselves raw. They are so overstimulated by their own behavior that they cannot perform with their own partner. They lose their partner. There's a loss of productivity because they can't think of anything else. Some people actually lose their jobs because they're getting up throughout the day. This is addiction. This isn't sexuality. This is being so overstimulated that you can't stop yourself from wanting to have that feeling. You don't go to work high on bad drugs because you can't perform. So you're emitting these chemicals into your brain hour after hour after hour. And if you're not doing that, then you're seeking to do it. That's addiction. So we also know about the habituation to pornography. It's all over the place. Well, do you know what a multi-billion dollar industry pornography is? Some people say to me that they don't think there's anything wrong with pornography, and I'm not going to get into the morality of whether ever looking at pornography is okay, because in my belief, pornography is not a benign subject. My belief is that pornography habituates men to looking at women as objects. And most of people who get involved in the pornography industry do it because it's quick money and they have very little sense of themselves. Now, you can disagree with me, and that's fine. I'll let you disagree with me. But I personally think that if you allow children to begin to habituate to pornography early in their development, that it inhibits proper sexual development. They get overstimulated by images that they can manipulate, and it is harder for them to then have normal and safe relationships. If you'd like to talk to me about this issue or any other, you can certainly call at 622-9747, 622-9747, and my extension is 210. If you call during the show at 622-9747 and you dial 0, want to make a pledge, I will I will match your pledge up to $100 if you call during the show. This is Gail Moskowitz, and I actually have a caller. Can I hear that caller? Okay. Caller, can you ask your question?
Well, you know, my husband and I, we have a pretty decent sex life. You know, he's admitted, though, that he's cheated on me in the past. And, you know, he says that he hasn't lately, and I do believe him, but, I mean, we have a decent sex life and everything, and I'm wondering, does he have a sexual addiction?
Well, I mean, it's a good question because, you know, does somebody who cheats, is somebody who cheats on their spouse a sex addict? And the answer is really no. I mean, there's lots of reasons somebody might cheat on their spouse. And here's sort of the indications. Do they do it once or have they done it six times? Have they done it with somebody they met in a bar while they were on a business trip and they were overwhelmed by a moment of weakness? Or have they had a six-year relationship behind your back? Because the person who might have once in their married life picked up somebody in a bar, they're not sexually addicted. But somebody who spends 6 years lying to their spouse, and remember, lying is a part of addiction because you have to cover up what you're doing. This person can't be having a real relationship with you if they're having a six-year relationship with somebody else. So are they sexually addicted? There is clearly a component of addiction in their behavior. And, you know, you have to make that decision. If you really believe that your husband did this once and he's not doing it anymore, and you've forgiven him, you got to let it go. And you can't hover over him for the rest of your life if you've truly let go of it. Although it does change how you feel about him, I'm sure, on some level. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
So, you know, that is a big difference about somebody who once had an affair versus somebody who has had lots and lots and lots of affairs, have had children with other women while they're married, who have gotten sexual diseases while they're married. This is somebody who clearly has their life interrupted in a normal, healthy way. Now, I want to talk about a few things here that I think are important to talk about when we're talking about sexual addiction. So, we talked a little about pornography and what it does. Well, I think it overstimulates a young brain so that they don't have healthy development. It allows young people to believe that they, on some level, are in charge of every one of their sexual interactions. Now, I am not saying that every 15-year-old who has masturbated to pornography is going to grow up to be sexually addicted. I am saying that left to their own devices, with no information about what's going on with them, no way of understanding what their impulses are about, they are inundated with the shame that is attached to that. And they don't really begin to learn what's healthy and normal sex. If that is, you know, if they're a 15-year-old boy, let's say, who feels unloved and not attractive to the opposite sex, they very well might find it a lot easier to have a relationship that doesn't include other people. And that is not healthy for them if they begin to get overstimulated with pornography. We are in charge of helping our kids put names, words, and feel, you know, to their feelings about everything, including their sexuality. Okay, so then let's talk about the person who is sociopathic or narcissistic. Okay, when I talk about someone who's addicted, I'm not talking about somebody who doesn't care at all about what they're doing to their partner. I'm talking about somebody who is conflicted, full of shame, confused, and very often what we do to manage feelings like conflict, confusion, and shame is we shut off from them. We learn to compartmentalize. And once we learn to compartmentalize, we have stepped out of our healthy relationships and moved into a much more unhealthy place. So is this person a sociopath who is everybody who's having a sexual relationship with somebody else a sociopath? No. Is everybody who's having a sexual relationship in an unhealthy, sexually addicted way, are they narcissistic or unable to feel other people's feelings? No. But there is a part of them who has learned to cut off from their feelings and what it does to hurt other people. That's what addiction is about. I have another caller on the line. This is Gail Moskowitz. Welcome to Mental Health Matters. And what can I do for you today?
Hi, Gail. My name is Lisa, and I'm really thankful that I was able to catch your program today. I really like your program.
Thank you.
I recently came across some male pornography on my husband's computer, and I'm really horrified, and I don't know what to do. I feel so lost. I don't know.
You're shocked.
I don't know what to do. I'm shocked. I'm completely shocked.
I bet you are in shock, Lisa. Lisa, do you have what you would consider a decent sexual relationship with your husband?
I don't know. I mean, it's not very often.
Well,
you know.
Lisa, I'm going to say two things. One, I'm going to respond to your question, and two, I'm going to really urge you to seek some help, because this isn't a little thing, and seek some help for you. You're in shock. This is horrible. You're scared to death. Does this mean your marriage is over? I mean, there's a million questions to answer. So, you know, does your husband have some confusion about the object of his sexual desires? I don't know. I don't know your husband. But that might be what it's about. It might be that he's a little confused about the object of his sexual desires. And it doesn't necessarily mean that because he might have looked at male pornography that he's homosexual and he has no interest in you and he never wants to be sexual with you or be in a relationship with you. But it certainly has some indication that he is confused about the object of his sexual desire. And as long as he keeps that little world secret, It is encased in shame, and when we are encased in shame, we isolate ourselves. It can't possibly be good for your relationship with him, and I don't know if you're going to forgive him or not forgive him for his behavior, and I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you that you personally need to go talk to somebody so you can manage your feelings, and what you have to do is to create some safe way of saying to your husband, I don't want you to lie to me. I want the truth. I don't care what the truth is. I don't know if we'll be able to work this out, but we've got to talk about what's going on, and we have to together come up with some sane response to your interest in looking at male pornography. So I know that's not easy, and trust me, I'm not just saying, just do this, that's easy. I'm not.
Right.
But I'm telling you, it's the only answer to the situation. I really appreciate you calling, and I wish you so much luck. And, you know, feel free to send me a note on my email, UR, the letters UR, which stands for Your Mental Health Matters, all one word, at gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send you a list of referrals and places that you can get some more information about this. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's a hard question. And what's interesting about that question is that I see those kinds of struggles every single day in my practice. So how do you begin to treat this? And I want to tell you that how you begin to treat this is you get some education about it. So is the answer to sexual addiction sexual abstinence? No, it can't be. Because sex, just like our need for food and our need to breathe air, is a natural and healthy part of who we are as human beings, both heterosexual, homosexual. Whatever it is, we have impulses. That's hardwired into us. That's how we continue in our world. We're anthropologically wired to have sexual needs, feelings, and impulses. So the answer to sexual addiction cannot be sexual abstinence. That's like saying the answer to having an eating disorder is to starve yourself to death. We know that doesn't work. You have to begin, and this is it. You have to get educated about the issues that are in your way that are keeping you from having the life you want to have, keeping you from having the relationships you want to have, keeping you from being honest. You have to get educated. You need to read about it. You need to go talk to somebody. If you're on the other end, like you're married to somebody who has a sexual addiction or is acting out in ways that is not good for your relationship, you need to get educated so that you can come up with a plan to learn about your own feelings attached to sex and sexuality. Can you imagine if you are, I mean, we all were 12 at some point. We all began this journey into our sexual development. And there are all sorts of things that are nuance about sexual development that are really normal. As we said before, self-stimulation is sort of a normal part of growing up, but it's not a normal part of growing up to do those kinds of behaviors and not know anything about what you're thinking and feeling, and it takes over your life. You might have an okay life, and you might move through it and get what you need, but in truth, it's a broken part of development. And we've come to the end of our half hour, which is amazing. It went so quickly. And I do want to say that I thank you for listening today. I'm Gail Moskowitz. Next week, we're going to talk about obsessive-compulsive disorder with Ronnie Saunders, the director of the Center for Behavioral Medicine, Center for Behavioral Change. We're going to talk about obsessive-compulsive disorders. And feel free to call anytime in the next week at 622-9747, dial zero, and make a pledge to this station. If you've enjoyed listening to me today, help to pay the bills here, because we need your help to get to do that. I'm Gail Moskowitz, and I will come to you again next Monday at 1 o'clock for Mental Health Matters.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.